All right, you guys can hear me? So my name is Shane, and I go to this church, The Summit. I've been going here for about maybe 5 years in February. Known David for that time. Anyway, born and raised here in SoCal, so Southern California is all I know. Grew up kind of in Orange County, moved down here when I was almost 18, 19-ish. So tonight, what I want to talk about is God's plan. What is God's plan for you? God's plan. Right? Do we know what God's plan is for us? Do you want the download?
Yes.
What is God's plan? So here's some questions for you. What are your plans for your life? Yeah. You guys are you guys all in college, or you're just college age, or what? Who's in college? And who's college age? Okay. So somewhere between 18 and 24, you guys? Anybody 19? Okay, because I have a 19 story I'm going to tell later. Okay, so anyway, when I've asked all, you know, what is God's plan for me anyway? You know, sometimes you feel like you're just going through the motions, and you want to know what does God want me to do? And once I figure that out, how am I going to fulfill that plan? So I'm just going to pray real quick. So Father, I just thank you for this group, and I know Susan already prayed and prophesied a little bit, but so we just, Holy Spirit, I just invite you to be here and to penetrate everyone's heart, Lord, and just help what's being said be good, Lord, and that it would affect everybody in a positive way, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So I'm going to start with a scripture. We're all at different levels of reading the Bible, you know, but this one is kind of a common one. Matthew 6:21. It says, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. I think about that one a lot while I'm playing a video game. I'm like, well, my heart's into the video game, you know. Should I be reading the Bible right now? Should I be doing something else, you know? But the cool thing is, Jesus himself was talking at that moment, and he was talking about storing up treasures in heaven. If you read the whole passage. And, you know, things we do on earth store up treasures in heaven. It's not like in heaven we're all going to be equal. There's different levels of, like, awesomeness in heaven. But some of the things, you know, you might ask yourself that you do every day to kind of figure out where your heart is at. You know, getting to the next level of a video game, right? Meeting up with your boyfriend or your girlfriend. Going to school, working, sleeping, taking a nap. There's all things we do in life, but, you know, as you go through your day, whatever you spend the most time is on, you can kind of figure that's where your heart really is, you know. Now, when I was a kid, it's funny because I listened to Joel's thing on Destiny, and there's some similarities to what I'm talking about, but, you know, when I was real little, I wanted to be an Air Force pilot, and then when I got a little older, started playing guitar, I wanted to be a rock star, right? And then, you know, it's funny how commercials can affect you, but there used to be this Prudential commercial. Prudential's like life insurance and, you know, the kind of the financial management stuff. And they had this perfect commercial, this big old rock would slide on. And I was like, yeah, that's what I want. I want to be a corporate guy, and I want to work behind a desk that's air conditioned. I don't want to be a blue collar. I want to do that, you know. And it's funny, I ended up being a corporate guy. But in all these things I thought about as a kid, nothing did I ever try to, like, figure out, well, what does God want me to do? You know, it's just, here's what I want to do. I never really thought is this what God wants me to do? Is this God's plan for me? So a question I have, you know, what do you guys think God says about you? I imagine it's probably positive, good, right? So I'm going to go through some scriptures. We don't have a screen. I don't know if you guys want to check, you know, follow along with your phone. It kind of, I'm the type of person, if I read along while somebody's saying it, it like sinks in better. So if you want to grab your phone, you've got a Bible on there. This is actually Ephesians 1:4-6. So I asked the question, what does God say about you? And here's the answer. Ephesians 1:4-6. Says, and I'm just going to kind of skip around this scripture a little bit, but it says, and he chose us to be his very own, joining us to himself even before he laid the foundation of the universe.
That's right.
This, in other parts of the scripture, it talks about the world, right? This is the whole universe. Now, I'm kind of into, like, universe stuff, you know? And, you know, the galaxy, as far as humanity knows it, we can see the farthest thing we've seen is 13 billion light years away. What that means is it takes 13 billion years for that light to reach us. And so science estimates that the universe is 13 billion years old. Now, the Bible says otherwise, but that's all we know, because that's the farthest thing we've seen. There could be stuff even further, 20 billion or 60 billion light years away that we don't even know about. I'm just saying, telling you this, to show how huge and massive this universe is. You know, the closest star to us is 4 light years away. That means at the speed of light, it'll take 4 years to get there. The speed of light is 7 times around the Earth in 1 second. So that's how fast light travels. So if you imagine it takes 4 years going that fast, that's the closest star to us out of all the billions and billions that are out there. And this scripture says, He chose us to be His very own, joining us to Himself even before He laid the foundation of the universe. That's powerful. That's amazing. Wow. And then if you skip down a little bit, it says, For it was always His perfect plan, there's the word plan, to adopt us as His delightful children. And then skip down a little bit further, it says, For the same love He has for His beloved one, Jesus, He has for us. And this unfolding plan brings Him great pleasure. In fact, what's your name?
Me.
Yeah.
Elise.
What is it?
Elise.
So, with this script. So as soon as I read this, God just popped something into my heart for you. So I feel like you've gone through some stuff in your life that's been not very good and hurtful, very painful things that have happened to you. And God just wants you to know that He loves you with all His heart. And I actually saw, while we were worshiping, I saw like these, God sent 2 angels specifically to protect. I saw Him cradling you in His hand, like just showing you His love. And then I saw Him send 2 angels specifically, and they were just like these bolts of lightning just coming so fast, just down this, it was like in a long corridor, and then they escaped the corridor and they're coming down into Earth, and they went directly towards you to protect you, so that whatever, I don't know what's happened, but whatever the situation, you need to know that those angels are there to protect you, and be confident that they're there, be confident God really loves you. That's awesome. And I've been reading a book on angels and how they take so many different forms, you know, like could be a guy in a dumpster or whatever. Teresa has an amazing angel story when she was jogging all by herself when she was younger. So, you know, in terms of God's plan for us, you read some things there, and there's more that I'll keep going on, but I just want to tell a little story. So when I was in high school, I was raised in a Christian household as a kid, but as I got older, my parents got divorced, and my mom moved out, and, you know, my dad traveled a lot, so my brother and I, for a good portion of high school, were just on our own. So you can imagine we got into some pretty bad party scene stuff, you know. And when I turned 18, my dad sold the house, and I had nowhere to live, right? So a friend of mine in high school, his parents had a little like casita, a little like back house behind their house. So they, you know, charged me back then $150 a month rent.
That's
probably like $300 today. I don't know, you know. Honestly, that was like half my month's pay back then, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, so they would go to Lake Hume once a year, and there's this big Christian camp. Lake Hume's up. It's in the mountains of California. It's kind of in the redwoods and stuff like that. And it's been a Christian camp forever. So these guys were, you know, a Baptist family, and I went with them. And you know, they're just having me go to chapel in the morning, chapel after lunch, chapel in the evening, and amongst all these other cool activities. And, you know, they're trying to get you to get saved and commit your life to Christ. And I'm just like, nah, I'm like in my party scene, you know, I'm not going to do it, you know. And I was there 5 days. And by day 4, I was like, okay, God. You know, and I went down to the altar call. And I remember I was dating my current wife all the way back then. And I wrote her, I didn't have an envelope, so I wrote her a letter and taped it into like the shape of an envelope. And I just said, I'm saved. I'm going forward with Jesus. You can come with me or not. And I just let her, I just sent it like that. Yeah, and she was all in, fortunately, as we were still married. We're married today, you know. But the point of this story is, you know, my plan was partying at that point in my life, and God's plan was different.
Yeah.
And he set me up, even though, you know, literally the day I turned 18, you know, I had nowhere to live, and that's a difficult thing. But he, you know, set me up with his family, going to Lake Hume, changed my life. You know?
Yeah.
And so since that point, you know, I haven't looked back. there's a scripture in Romans 8:29. This is another one of those kind of four new ones. This is the NIV version. It says, "For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son." Honestly, that is God's plan for you. If you take anything out of what I've said today, God's plan for you is to be conformed to the image of his son.
Yeah.
And everything you do and all the setups he'll have for you is on that path. That word, I'm going to read that. It says, "For those he foreknew, he also predestined." A lot of people get confused on when it says predestined here. It says, "He predestined. Well, if he predestined me, then I don't have a choice. He's predestining." But that's not what he's really saying. He predestined all humanity to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's his goal. That's his desire. But it's up to us to accept that and to travel along that path. So what can we do, right? So, okay, so now we know God's plan is he's predestined us to conform into the image of his son. That's his main plan for us. How can we, you know, fulfill that and get there? Well, number one, make sure you're saved. Is everyone here saved? Is anybody not saved and not know what that means? You're not going to raise your hand if you're not saved, I'm sure. But that's number one. Make sure you've accepted Jesus into your heart. Number two, you've got to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. Now, I know at your age, things like when I was your age, Holy Spirit was like foo-foo stuff for like really hardcore Christians. And only older people, you know, that were really into the Christianity did that. Things have changed. And nowadays, your guys' age are the ones that are really getting these downloads from God. The Holy Spirit's really talking to you. And you guys at young ages get prophetic and do all these amazing things that when I was your age, only, you know, older, serious Christians did that stuff. So listen to the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to read a few things about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is life and fullness. The Holy Spirit is counselor and comforter. The Holy Spirit will direct your life.
Amen.
He will make things happen in your life.
Amen.
He will help you fulfill God's plan for your life, yes. And he wants to. The Holy Spirit loves it when you listen to him,
yes.
And he especially loves it when you talk about him. Amen. I can guarantee you, if you talk about the Holy Spirit, he will show up. You will start sensing his presence like I can feel right now. Like during the worship when Susan had, you know, her download. You start talking about the Holy Spirit, he will show up. He loves to be talked about. So here's another scripture along these same lines about what God wants for our life. This is Romans 8, 5, 6. The whole chapter of Romans 8 is amazing. It talks about a lot of stuff on these lines. But those who are motivated by the flesh only pursue the benefits themselves. That was me in high school. But those who live by the impulses of the Holy Spirit are motivated to pursue spiritual realities.
Yeah.
So again, this is just reinforcing. If you want to get on this journey, you start really paying attention to the Holy Spirit. Make time for the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one thing our pastor says, which I don't know if you guys go to the Sunday service, he says first 15 and last 15. Try to spend your first 15 minutes with God and your last 15. It's not that big of an ask. You know, but get up in the morning and say, "Hello, Holy Spirit. I welcome you into my life today. Make this day awesome. You know, talk to me today. Tell me what, you know, direct my path today." It can only be 1 minute, you know, just simple things. Welcome in the Holy Spirit, and you'll be amazed at things, how they'll progress in the day.
Amen.
So I'm going to tell another little kind of Holy Spirit God moment. This is an amazing story in my life. So, living in that little casita in that back house, even though I had rededicated myself to God at that Lake Hume, I ended up getting my girlfriend pregnant. So I think I was 18, because yeah, baby came out when I was 19. I had all these great plans for college. I was going to a junior college at the time, though. And I had to, like, okay, I got a baby coming. I got to change gears on what I'm going to do with my life. So at 19... that's when I moved to San Diego. My mom had moved to San Diego, so I came from Orange County kind of area, moved to San Diego with her for a while, and just looked for jobs and anything. I tried at the post office and whatever I could do. I tried to look for ads in the newspaper. Back then, that's what she did. There was no Craigslist or any online stuff, you know. And I would call and I would go, to these things. And so I ended up signing up with a temp agency. The one thing I could do, I could type really fast. I could type 85 words a minute. So I signed up with a temp agency to do typing stuff, you know. And here I am. At that time, I was making like $6 an hour. And this one temp agency, I'm literally stuffing envelopes. It was a commercial real estate company, and they would do mailings. And so they had this machine that would fold these letters, and I would stuff the envelope and sort them. And there was this thing called bulk mail, and you would sort them and put rubber bands and all these things. And but I was fortunate. At the age of 13, my father had purchased a computer. Back then, that was rare. And I really got into it, you know, and wrote some little programs and stuff. And so I was pretty good with computers. And so I'm here, I'm stuffing envelopes. And this is like my third kind of temp agency job, you know, just trying to figure out what I'm going to do with this baby coming along. So behind me, the guy he's like complaining about something's not working on his computer. And I'm just stuffing the envelopes, and I'm like, I think I can help that guy. So I turn around, I'm like, hey, you know, I think I can help you. And he's like, okay. So I was able to solve this problem. You know, I go back to stuffing envelopes. Well, word gets out. So there's like 20 brokers, commercial real estate brokers in this place. And so they all start having me come help them with their computer problems. So after like 3 days of this, the owner of the company pulls me into his office, and he goes, hey, I'm starting a new software company, and I want to hire you as the first employee.
Wow.
Right? From stuffing envelopes. And I was praying. So at that time, you know, I just didn't know what was going to happen with my life, you know. I got this girlfriend, not married, she's pregnant. I'm barely living with my mom. She's barely making it at the time, you know. And I'm like, and suddenly, boom, I go from this, you know, stuffing envelopes to a salaried position of first employee of this company. It was totally God. It's one of the most amazing stories that I could tell, because that, to this day, you know, I'm a software engineer. That one moment working for that company set me on a course career-wise that I wouldn't have been able to attain. You know, so I've and there was a recession that happened in the early, this was in the early 90s, there was a recession, and even though I was working for this company, after a while, you know, the business was down and what have you, and we hired employees and ended up laying most of them off. But around 1995, the recession kind of ended, and I was able to go work for a real company, which was, you know, the UPS stores that you see around? It was called Mailboxes, etc., and UPS bought them out. But they had a corporate office in Mira Mesa, and I got hired as a programmer for my first professional programming job, you know. But that all started with that one moment stuffing envelopes. So the point of the story is just to tell you, you know, God has plans for you, and He will arrange the most crazy situations. When you think, when you just don't know what's going to happen, and you think all the chips are down, and how are you going to make it out of this position, God knows about you, and He still is going to provide a way for you.
That's good.
You know, the Holy Spirit knows where we're at. If I could just get that through to you, you know, He knows so much about you, and He wants you to be happy. He wants the desires of your heart to come out. Sometimes we're simple things in life can disturb us. We get stuck in traffic. We're already late.
Good.
Late for work. Right. Overslept again. Dang it. Alarm didn't go off. It's my third time. I'm going to get fired from the job. Whatever, right?
Yeah.
You got fired from a job. You don't have any money for whatever. Like, I didn't have any money back then, you know? There's all these things that can happen and go on. But I just want you to know, the Holy Spirit creates atmosphere and opportunities in your life. The Holy Spirit will not make you do anything. He will ask you to do crazy things sometimes, but He will not make you do anything. But my point is, those bad things, I just want to reiterate, the Holy Spirit will create atmospheres for you and opportunities in your lives, just like He did for me. There was one time, just another kind of, so years ago, my wife and I helped kind of start a church. We were asked, our old pastors had moved away and they came back, and so we said, yeah, sure, we'll help you start this church. And so I went from being kind of a nominal Christian to some extent to, like, now I got to be hardcore and be serious about my Bible time and praying and stuff. I have more responsibility. So shortly after that, my family took a trip to Yosemite. Anybody been to Yosemite?
Love it.
Awesome, right. You young ones got to go. Yeah. You can go with just the guys, you know, just figure out how to get there. It's awesome. And you can go with the girls, I guess. So we're heading back from Yosemite trip, and we're on the 15 or the 5 freeway. And if you're coming back from Yosemite, if you're going 80 miles an hour, people are honking at you because you're, like, going slow, you know. It's like everybody's just booking. So I'm just cruising, and there was this vehicle maybe, I don't know, a mile in front of me. I don't know what happened. I just saw, like, this cloud of dust and whatever. And so by the time I pulled up to there, we pulled over, and there was a truck out on the side. It was just like deserty stuff, just on the deserty side, and it was upside down, right? So I pull out, and other cars are starting to pull in and pull out. And in the truck, there's a man in the driver's seat, upside down, and he's not moving at all. And he actually was dead. It's the first time I've seen a dead person besides, like, a funeral or whatever, you know? But the passenger somehow was, like, 30 feet over here, and he's sitting there. So a bunch of us men, we didn't know if the guy was dead. We tried to turn this truck over, and we just couldn't do it. I mean, we just couldn't do it. And then the guy that was over here, he goes, "Are there any Christians here?" Right? And I'm like, "I'm a Christian." I walk up to him, and he goes, "Can you pray for me?" And I don't know what I prayed for the guy, but I know in my heart that prayer for that guy was the most important thing that had happened to him in a long time. His friend was dead in the truck. Maybe an angel, but I don't know how he got out. He had just a couple little scrapes. And I never thought about it till later. I'm like, how is that guy just sitting there, you know, outside of this truck? His buddy is crushed, and he's here. But he said, "Is there any Christians there?" And there I was. A Holy Spirit moment. And that moment, it wasn't even a big deal, the prayer. What was a big deal for me was the encounter.
Yeah.
I'm hoping to start this new church, and I'm like, wow, God is putting me in spots to use me in the most crazy circumstance like that. And the story's kind of simple, but the impact was significant in my life. And it's just, the point of that is, again, God will set you up. His plan for you is good. And he wants you to conform into the image of his son. So I'm just going to say a few things. God's plan is always good. It's always the correct one. But there's a journey, and God wants the journey. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. God wants you to journey on this plan with him to get to where he wants to take you. And the Holy Spirit's there with the journey. And it should be a fun journey. No mistakes or missteps or sins or anything you do can stop God from keeping you on that path. As long as you're saved and redeemed, you can't make a mistake. That's too great for God to just ignore. That's what Jesus died for, the sin. He's up in heaven constantly pleading on our behalf.
That's right.
So the mistake is not seen. Missteps aren't seen.
Amen.
So even if you think you've made mistakes, you've done the wrong thing, it doesn't matter to God. He's got that plan ordained for you. He's going to set you up. The Holy Spirit's going to make sure things are going to happen in your life for that plan. And later in Romans 28, it's Romans 28, 8:28. This is the Passion Version. It says, "So we are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan of bringing good into our lives. For he knew all about us before we were born." There it is again. "And he destined us from the beginning to share the likeness of his son." So there it is again. He destined us from the beginning to share the likeness of his son. And his plans are always woven together in detail, every little detail. If you could truly understand how God does care about every little detail, this wasn't in here. I'll just tell the story real quick as well. Just a couple years ago, I had a job. I was traveling a lot and built up all these, you know, travel miles and stuff. And so I took my family, the Reds. I have 4 kids, by the way. The 2 youngest ones are redheads, so we call them the Reds. So I took the Reds to D.C. on a trip to D.C. And our congressman was there at the time. He's the guy that had to quit. He's the one that got all in trouble recently.
Duncan Hunter
was there. So I'm
Paul,
good job. Well done.
I'm paused.
So I love my country with a passion, and I'm therefore political about it, you know, and into political things to some extent. And so we get there to his office. So we find his office and stuff, and he goes, "Hey." Oh, first we went to the Capitol building, which is where the Senate and the Congress meet, and it was closed. There were some protests, and so all they had was the police. What do they call it? The ones that protect the president, those kind.
Secret Service.
Yeah, the Secret Service police. A whole bunch of them just lined up there in uniform, and so I go up to one. I'm like, "How can we? Is there a way we can get in there somehow?" And he's like, "Go find your congressman, and maybe he can help you." So we navigate in, you know, so the buildings, other blocks down the street. We find our congressman, and we get this cool picture with him, and he's so happy that we're actually from San Diego, you know, and we're and visiting him, and took time to talk to us and stuff. And then he's got like an intern, this girl. He goes, "Hey," whatever her name was, I'll say Julie. "Hey, Julie, why don't you take him underground into the Capitol building?" And so we got these little lanyards, and we got to go underground all the way from his office to the Capitol building. And this girl gave us, nobody was there. He gave us a private tour. We took as long as we wanted. We saw whatever we wanted, every statue we wanted. The old original Supreme Court's in there. We checked that out. And we got to sit in. There was where the Senate sits in there. A couple senators were actually doing speeches. And that was really eye-opening because they do speeches when nobody's in there. But the camera's on them, so you don't know it. They literally, not a single soul, except for their aides, bringing them water. And then when they're done, another senator might pop up and do a speech. It was kind of interesting to see how that worked. So at that time, Paul Ryan was the Speaker of the House. So we go to this, there's like this big room kind of like this, and has all these statues. And there's all these, like, maybe 17, 16-year-old girls dressed up. Like there were showgirls, or I forget, it was kind of a weird clothing, you know. But they were there to meet Paul Ryan somehow. And so right then Paul Ryan comes in, he was tall, like 6'8", he was really tall. And he comes in, and he was the girls, so I get my phone out and I kind of take a picture of me with him, you know, with the Speaker of the House in the background. But that, for me, I've taken a lot of vacations, that setup, to get with that intern and to be taken privately because it was closed down, was like a desire of my heart. And it might seem small, but when God says every detail of our lives is continually woven together, He knows about the little things you care about.
Yeah.
And even Peggy, my wife, and the two Reds, we've taken, you know, vacations, Yosemite and stuff. That's one of the things I talk about the most. Going underground in these passages that we didn't even know were there, and you know, and getting to see all that stuff, it took us long. It was just surreal. It was just like, I can't believe this is happening moment. And that was one of those things where, you know, for you guys that are, you know, here listening, God cares about every little detail of your life, and He will set you up, and you'll be, if you look back sometimes, you'll just be so amazed, like that wouldn't have happened if God didn't know about that detail. So one last scripture, and then I'm going to have you guys stand up. I'm going to speak. I want you to say some things with me. But this scripture is Romans 8:31. "What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can be against us?" Right? So in summary, God's plan is for you to be like Jesus, to conform to the image of His Son. We get there by allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us. And no matter what is going on in your life, God is always there for us. He's going to journey with you. So let's stand up. I want to, and if you want to come up, ever just come right up in the front right here. So I want you just to repeat after me. And I know sometimes I don't like this when pastors do it, but I'm going to try to do it slow so it'll sink in. These are things that'll just help you. All right, you ready? You gonna say it with after I say ready? Say, "I am more than a conqueror."
I am more than a conqueror.
I'm on top looking down.
I'm on top looking down.
I'm the head, not the tail.
I'm the head, not the tail.
I'm above, not beneath.
I'm above, not beneath.
Greater is he that is in me.
Greater is he that is in me.
Than he that is in the world.
I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ.
Who strengthens me.
I'm a mover of mountains.
Because I have great faith.
And no matter what happens in my life,
God is there to journey with me.
And I will succeed.
Amen.
Amen.